Well, how's your Lent going? It's not a question you're going to hear many places, so you might as well think about it while you're here with me. How is your Lent going? This is the season in which we travel with Jesus, moving toward Jerusalem, moving toward a closer relationship with the divine. And along that journey, we are invited to give things up, to take things on, and reflect upon life and grow. In my reflecting on life and the life of Jesus and the scriptures of Lent, I want to share a bit of my own personal journey with you today. Now, I'll tell you, as pastors, there very much is this delicate balance that we try to strike of keeping good personal boundaries while at the same time trying to share who we are. Today, I'm going to get a little real with you. We're going to talk about some of my own little baggage that I tend to carry along with me. You see, I have to. Because I cannot talk about today's scripture without being honest about where I have journeyed first. I am an older brother. I've got a younger sister. Her name is Erin, and we are best friends. We get together regularly. We've been through lots of things together. We support each other. I mean, she is in a three-way tie with my wife and my mother as the three women who have shaped me most in my life. I'm very, very grateful for my sister. That said, I carry with me what can be described as very typical older sibling baggage. Throughout my life, I have been constantly wrestling with what is and is not fair. Maybe some of you have seen or experienced this yourself. Now, I will say, maybe you don't have siblings, maybe it's something you notice at work. Maybe it's something you notice in another relationship you have. But in moments, all of us, whether older, younger, at work, at home, wherever, hopefully I'm not alone, there are moments you're sort of like, really? Because that's so not fair. Okay, maybe not the shaking of the fists anymore, but it's still in here. Throughout my journey, I've been wrestling with this. I know I drove my mother crazy, constantly keeping track of the differences between what I got and what Erin got, what I got to do and when Erin got to do those things. You get the picture. These are the things I dealt with. And I tell you all of this so that you can understand my reaction when I saw what today's scripture was. I opened up the list of the lectionary scriptures for Lent, and there it was. And I actually bemoaned out loud. Our office manager, Tamara, heard me and started laughing when I said, "Oh, not the prodigal son. This scripture has driven me crazy for years." I always thought it just sort of proved my point about how unfair it is to be the older sibling as the well-behaved, better child. But not when I really listened to Jesus tell the story. Hear the story as it shows up in our scriptures. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This Jesus fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So we told him this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me." So the man divided his property between the two sons. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country. And there he squandered his property in dissolute living. Okay, that's a phrase that's sort of fun, isn't it? Dissolute living. I want to know more. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout the whole country. And he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him in the fields to feed the pigs. That young man would have gladly eaten all the food that was given to the pigs because no one gave him anything. And one day he came to himself and said, "My father's hired hands have bread enough. Why am I dying here of hunger? I'll get up and I'll go to my father and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.'" So the young man set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, the father saw him and was filled with compassion and ran out and put his arms around his son and kissed him. And the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against you and before heaven. I am no longer worthy to be called your son," just as he'd practiced. But the father said to his slaves, "Quickly, bring a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Get the best calf we have. Kill it and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and now is found." And so they began to celebrate. Now the older son was out working in the field. And when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called to one of the servants and asked, "What is going on?" And the servant replied, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he is back safe and sound." Then the older brother became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, "Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you. I've never disobeyed your command, yet you've never given me even a young goat so that I can party with my friends. But when this son of yours came back," please note he doesn't say my brother, "when this son of yours comes back, he's devoured all your property with prostitutes. You kill the best calf we have for him." Then the father said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we have to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come back to life. He was lost and now has been found." I tell you, this parable, this story really, really messed with my understanding of fairness. And it's not the only time Jesus does that either. Even if it isn't about siblings, there's that one about the workers in the vineyard. You know, the folks show up and some of them work 10 hours, some work 8 hours, some of them show up and work an hour and a half, and they all get paid the same thing. What's with that? Sorry, I promise I'm working on this with my therapist as well. But you know, this is what Jesus did. He told these stories, and people just sat there going, "Really?" Over and over, Jesus tells these stories where things weren't fair. Now, I figure if Jesus keeps telling these stories, and he does, this wasn't a one-time thing. If Jesus keeps telling these stories, and I keep having major issues with them, there is a chance, just maybe, that maybe the issue isn't with the story. It could be my issue. Uh-oh. So here I am on this Lenten journey, needing to figure out what to do with all my baggage. I want to follow Jesus. I want to move toward a closer relationship with the divine where I know Jesus is leading. But it's hard to travel that road when you're carrying so much. So what are we to do? You know, a couple Christmases ago, I found myself in a room with a bunch of my wife's cousins. Love that side of the family. We're hanging out, telling stories, and suddenly someone tells an older sibling story. And we start looking around and realize every single person in the room is the oldest in the family. So then the stories really start coming. In fact, it's this one upmanship of, "Oh yeah, let me tell you how unfair it is to be me. No, let me tell you how unfair it..." And you can just hear these stories piling. And suddenly one of the aunts walks in, and she's not the oldest in her family. She's sort of in the middle of the 10 kids, and she's listening to these stories and listening to these stories. And finally, we all sort of look at her, and we say, "Tammy, why are you smirking?" She says, "Well, because even as a middle kid, I felt the younger kids, it was unfair all the time. And then I became a parent." And she said, "What I have learned as a parent is that fair does not mean every person gets the same thing. Fair means every person gets what they need." And I sat there thinking, what does that mean? It didn't sink in right away. But in the time since, I've begun to move my way toward a place of better understanding. Fair doesn't mean that everyone gets the same thing. Fair means everyone gets what they need. In our scripture today, what is being demonstrated is just that. The needs are being met. When we step back to understand this story as a metaphor for God's relationship with us, this whole understanding becomes even more clear to me. No matter the life we are living, no matter the choices we have made, God loves us as we are, where we are. Now, this too has been the subject of many a "that's not fair" moment throughout history. Wait a second, God loves them as much as me? What's going on here? Our scriptures are full of people, let alone to name our lives, who stumble over their own righteousness, wondering how God could love people who are so less awesome than they are. And this is where Aunt Tammy's wisdom became very crystal clear to me. God gives each of us exactly what we need. Grace. How the grace comes, what the grace covers, how often we need to come back for it, that is different from person to person. But at the end of the day, all of us need grace and all of us get grace. So it's time to set the baggage down. And thankfully, God is willing to give me enough grace, knowing how long I've held on to it. Because that's what I need. Now, I use my own baggage as an example for the many things that we all might carry. And you see, I use it just as an example, not of our own individual things, but there's also this societal baggage we carry. You see, Jesus wasn't just challenging individuals to reconsider grace. Jesus was challenging the entitlement that was and still is present in the world. The impression that some of us as a group of people somehow deserve more than others. You know, we worked for it. We pulled ourselves up by those bootstraps, and so we have this, and they don't. Jesus started pushing on that, and you want to see people get uncomfortable? Jesus worked to turn this understanding of fairness and earning things and entitlement on end. For when Jesus pushed people's buttons and got them to cry out, "Hey, Jesus, that's not fair!" Every time we say that, we're opening the conversation to talk about it. Because things that were unsaid and were just sort of quietly there suddenly come to the forefront for discussion. And now we have to look at things. We have to look at our life. We have to look at our world. We have to look at our society and start the conversation between what Jesus offers and what we know. Now, there's one more layer of this story I want to consider together. You see, what's not fair to do to the story is to believe it's just about two different people we have to decide between. That somehow we're either the older sibling or the younger sibling in this story. I have watched people fall both directions on this. There are some of us who go through life thinking that we're much like that older sibling, doing what is right, tending to what God asks, and earning our fair share. There are others of us who constantly feel like that younger sibling, that we've made the wrong decisions, have failed, and have no more options, that we deserve nothing. And I tell you, if we're trying to decide between those two brothers, we're wrong. Because we're both. We're both. There are ways and parts of our lives that fit both of those descriptions. The places we have it together and the places we don't. To think ourselves only the older brother is to not closely enough examine our lives and thus miss the chance to receive the grace to improve ourselves. And to think ourselves only the younger brother is to not fully appreciate that God's grace is working on us and that we're getting to be better and better people every day. See, this story has two important messages from God, and we need to hear them both. And this is one reason Jesus tells the story the way he does. To be honest, Jesus could have just sat down and made two declaratory statements, "You need to know these things from God," and that's it. But Jesus tells the story the way he does because it brings an image into our minds. And there is a difference between an idea and an experience. And Jesus wants us to experience these ideas. So I'm going to ask you to do something with me. I'm going to ask you to visualize something. Some of you may choose to close your eyes. For some of you, you're like, "No, I'm not closing my eyes in church." You do what you need, but I want you to picture something. I want you to consider the divine, whatever that divine is for you. However it might manifest, whatever image it might take, picture that divine before you. Picture it right in front of you. See this divine presence extending itself to you. Enveloping you as a caregiver might pick up a child with outstretched arms. And as this presence embraces you and shares with you, listen to these things. "I appreciate all of the ways you are working to please me. And I value your contributions to the world. And I love you despite the ways you've turned away from me. And I am always willing to welcome you home." This is the experience into which we're invited, not just in this story, but in all of Jesus' stories, that we might see and have something be made real in our lives that we can experience so that we can carry it with us instead of the baggage. I tell you, we need both of these messages. And God is giving us exactly what we need. And that's the gift of the Lenten journey. That is the gift of Jesus. Amen.